You're on Sunday night on ABC Radio around Australia. Time once again to welcome Noel Debien into the studio to introduce to us the next episode in his exciting new series. Hello, Noel.
Hello, John.
So, what's up tonight?
Well, we're going to the Vienna Woods, John.
Thereupon hangs some awfully interesting tales.
Well, there are a lot of interesting tales from the Vienna Woods, and this is one of them. And this particular tale is about some musicians who are currently on the same label as Eminem and Amy Winehouse. And these musicians are in fact Carthusians; they're monks.
Noel, this is a tortuous trail through the Vienna Woods. Let us begin with Noel Debien and The Good Life.
Those are the bells of Stift Heiligenkreuz, or Holy Cross Abbey, all ringing at once there like European bells do, not like the English bells who are ordered into tunes or like Australian bells. And they're ringing out across the Vienna Woods, which is where the abbey is situated. It's the largest continually inhabited Cistercian abbey in Europe. And the good life that the monks are trying to live there involves some pretty radical lifestyle commitments. They live an intense and ordered sort of life, one of regular prayer, regular singing, regular work. Order is the way they seek the good life. Godly order. The monks are celibate, of course, because monks take the vow of chastity. There's no sex. They also take a vow of poverty, to own no personal possessions, just to have the use of things. Because they're monks, they take a vow of obedience to their abbot. Their abbot is representative of God's intended order for the world. And these Cistercians, like all Benedictines, take a special vow of stability, to stay in their monastery. It becomes their permanent home. Long before Europeans arrived in Australia, nearly 1,000 years ago, the Cistercians split off from the Benedictines. They were a strict reform group, trying to renew the order, to get back to its roots, and they were trying to reproduce a life exactly as they believed St. Benedict, their father, had wanted it. They were inspired by his example. They were well known for being very austere, very simple, and they were trying to establish this order on earth through their communities, a godly order imposed on a life in medieval Europe that was sometimes messy, dangerous, and unpredictable. They wanted also a simple, simple life. No paintings, simple architecture, simpler music. They wanted to go back to doing manual labour, to do the work of their hands, clean, good work, and especially field work. They even became one of the important ways that technology and farming methods were spread through Europe, through their system of monasteries and monastic contact. But these monks also believed in prayer. They still do. Getting out of bed before sunrise to sing their first prayers, to greet the sun. They sang, and they still sing. The many prayer services that they call offices, these offices of the day, they're part of their daily work, and they have their own unique form of Gregorian chant, the plain Cistercian style. And what a style it is. The monks of Heiligenkreuz, Holy Cross Abbey, just outside Vienna in the woods, singing the beginning of one of the divine offices, one of their daily prayer services, one of their many daily prayer services there. Well, these monks of Heiligenkreuz, they've actually done something most unusual for an order that's nearly 1,000 years old. These monks have hit the pop charts. They've got a new CD, it's called Chant,
They've just been presented with a gold disc for their success in the United Kingdom, a double platinum disc in their native Austria, and in just 10 weeks, the album has also achieved platinum status in Poland, gold in Belgium, silver in Ireland, and this is all after having been released after only 10 weeks. Chant reached the number one top spot in the Austrian pop iTunes and classical charts simultaneously. And this is all just for saying their prayers. Well, I spoke with Father Karl, who's the spokesperson for the Cistercians of Heiligenkreuz, and I asked him if all this fuss of making a CD, becoming famous, and all that this involved might disturb the good life of the monks.
There could be a risk, but I think we have been intelligent enough to think before about the consequences of the whole project here, and I think we have good measures to avoid any damage to the silence and the peaceful life we have here. And I think it works very well because I am the spokesman of the monastery, and I have to confess, of course, that I am in danger, in doing a lot of things. But on the other side, I have become more pious than before because I get such a lot of emails of people asking me for prayers and so on. So I see that my life here is more precious.
We've seen recently here in Australia the Carthusians of the Grand Chartreuse on film. Uh-huh. Now, how are Cistercians different to Carthusians?
Of course, the Cistercians have never been so strict as the Carthusians are. And 200 years ago, in Austria, all the monasteries, the Cistercians and the Benedictines and so on, all the orders had to start to work outside also in the parishes. And so we, of course, are used to work outside, to receive guests, to hold conferences or, for instance, in Heiligenkreuz, to lead a theological faculty and educating 160 priest students here. And of course, there is a big difference between the Carthusians. Even in our small country in Austria, we do not have a Carthusian monastery. There is only one in Germany, and there are two, I think, in Switzerland.
Now, you even take care of, I think, 17 parishes, your monastery.
At the moment, it's 20 parishes. And we have done a new foundation 20 years ago in Germany in a very secular area, in an industrial area. And this monastery is prospering and prospering. And it's a big attraction for people who come there to join the prayers. They are singing the same Gregorian chant as we are doing here. It's really a daughter, a copy, you could say, of Heiligenkreuz. And people love it.
I saw in your YouTube video a lot of young monks. I was surprised. And I know you have something around 70 monks there. Are there a lot of people in Austria joining the monastery?
Yes, because we are a very big attraction for tourists. We always have been. We are only 12 kilometers from Vienna, the capital of Austria, in the forests. And we have, that's really a big grace in the last year, such a lot of vocations. It's incredible. In the last 5 years, we have got 22 new monks, and the average age at the moment is 45 years old.
That is sort of amazing to have so many vocations in a monastery. Are monasteries, you think, for Europe, part of the re-evangelization of Europe that the Pope talks about?
I think so, because I see that outside of the monastery, all is going to be like a desert of filth, of Kentucky Fried Chicken, McDonald's, Burger King, and so on, civilization. That's rather boring. And people are so far away from God and having sense in life, so that I think always the monasteries have been fixed point, some fundament between all the waves of change that are in our civilization. And I think we need such oases of spirituality. That's also what the Holy Father has lined out when he has been here last year, that for people it's very important to have such places where they can go to and where they can inhale the beauty of having sense in life and of finding God.
Now, Heiligenkreuz is a very beautiful monastery. I've seen on websites, it's a very beautiful place physically. Tell us something about its history. It's a very old monastery as well.
Heiligenkreuz exists till 1133, so we are 875 years old, and we are celebrating this anniversary on the 11th of September. So I think it's a very big grace to have this continuous life of spirituality on one place. And of course also the buildings here, They're out of the 12th and the 13th century. We have some rooms out with Baroque style. It's really a combination, a harmony of all styles of the last 9 centuries we had. And the life here is especially beautiful because the landscape around Heiligenkreuz, we have forests here, and it's a very calm landscape here, and people come also here to relax on the weekends because we are so close to Vienna. And in the monastery, we are living a strict life. Yeah, we start every morning at 5:15, and we really want to be monks. We do not want to have a cheap spiritual life. We want to have it in a very serious way.
You're very lucky, Cistercians, though, because here in Australia at Tarawarra, our Cistercians have the first office at 4 a.m.
But in Australia, the Cistercians you have there, they are of the strict observance. So we also call them Trappists. And we are the old order of Citeaux, so we are the first order, the first Cistercian order. And of course, they are more strict, of course.
The Cistercians of Austria have a very easy lifestyle when they have to get up at 5 a.m. instead of 4 a.m.
Oh, you think now, we have an easier life because we start half an hour later?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. But really, I have to say, I do not understand why people like to sleep so long, yeah, because the morning is the most beautiful time of day, yeah, and I love it, yeah, to rise at 4:30, because then the whole day is empty, and also my heart is very open for God and for prayers. But of course, we have brothers, they prefer the evening, but I really love the morning.
It's not so easy to sing at 4:30 a.m. in the morning, I think, once you get out of bed.
Yeah, we need a cup of coffee. Yeah, I think that's normal. Yeah, but coffee is a good invention also for monks.
I imagine a monastery is a little bit like a nation. It rises and it falls,
yeah.
And it has different times, and sometimes it's wealthy, yeah. Sometimes it's not. At the moment, the music is exceptionally good in your monastery. Why is that?
I think it's because we have such a lot of young vocations, and we have good vocations. They do not flee out of the world, but they have a big desire to serve God and really to change something for better in the hearts of people outside of the monastery. And we have very amazing vocations, people who have totally changed in their life and then came to find a religious vocation. And I think it's because all those young vocations, they are both. In one way, they are very normal. They are really men of the 21st century. They are dealing with the new medias. On the other side, they really are very strict in their religious sense, yeah, and they really have fallen in love with God, and you can feel this atmosphere, this beauty of their souls when you listen to the CD.
When I was listening to Spiritus Domini, you know, Spiritus Domini, this
yes.
one, your yeah. chant is slightly different to the one I know from the Graduale Triplex. Why is that?
That's right. The Cistercians, they wanted to purify also the melodies of Gregorian chant. So the Cistercian way of singing Gregorian chant is different from the Benedictine way and the Roman way of singing Gregorian chant since the 12th century. So we have a special kind of singing. They just cut off when there were too many notes, yeah, and they wanted to purify it.
Much plainer way of yeah. singing.
Yes, yes, yes. Also our architecture yeah, is purified. Yeah, they didn't want to have pictures, and they wanted to have it very simple and humble. And also they wanted to express the humbleness by purifying and by reducing the lot of notes that have been in Gregorian chant at this time.
Brother Carl, you're a marvelous spokesman for your order.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And that's Spiritus Domini. It's a Gregorian chant sung by the monks of Heiligenkreuz, Holy Cross Abbey, in Austria, in the Vienna Woods.
Tell us the name of the CD again.
It's called Chant, yeah.
Chant, and you can get it at your local CD shop. Noel de Bien, on The Good Life, on Sunday night. Thanks for joining us.